beginning of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today we have very special guests who are visiting us. Abuna Butros Philippos, who is visiting from the Church of Virgin Mary and St. Athanasius in Mississauga, Canada. This is the church that I used to serve in about 12, 13 years ago. Abuna is a dear friend and a blessed father and leader, and it's a really wonderful blessing to have him. It was a great surprise when we knew that he's coming, because Abuna Anthony is actually there now in Toronto, the same church, in a mission there. Abuna also, Elisha is visiting us from Kenya, Maseno. And Abuna, as you know, he's—I don't want to say he's visiting because he's from here. And Manel is his wife is ours already. So, yani he's a family. Of course, you know Abuna Elisha. Abuna Butros is gonna give you the English sermon, and Abuna Elisha is gonna give the Arabic sermon. Wallahu zawak. Okay, تفضل أبونا خد بركة.
In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Thank you, Abuna Bshoya. It's really a great pleasure and blessing to be among you here and to serve here. And we thank Abuna for allowing us to borrow Abuna Anthony for a while. We love the service of the church. Thank you very much. I'd like to start by telling you about a thing that happens with me, with my kids, and I'm sure it happens with you, with your kids as well. Many times when we are in long trips and the kids are riding with us in the car, one common question when we're going to a long destination, what is the common question? Are we there yet? Yes, exactly. And guess what? After, and say we tell them, say it's going to take us 4 hours drive. Guess when are they going to ask the second time, are we there yet? 5 minutes after. Are we there yet? They keep on asking, are we there? Unless they are busy doing something, they keep on asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Actually, this is the same question or a similar question that the disciples are asking to our Lord Jesus today. Is it time yet? Are we there yet or not? Before the reading of that few verses before this reading, that our Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples, and they were walking, getting out of Jerusalem, going to the Mount of Olives. And in the way, they were wondering about the temple. So the disciples said to our Lord Jesus Christ, do you see how marvelous, how magnificent are the stones of the temple? So magnificent. And when we go to the Book of Kings, we see all the efforts and labor that was put in building the house of the Lord, in building the temple. It took them around 46 years to build the temple with all precious material, with all special material, with all special care to build the temple. And surprisingly, the Lord gives them a big surprise. Not a stone will stay unless it is destroyed. All the disciples were shocked and knew what he was talking about. They knew that he's talking about something very serious. So came their question, when is the time? And tell us about the signs, about when will this happen? And that's what we have, or what we have heard today in this gospel. Actually, our Lord Jesus Christ took it an opportune time to talk about two distant events, but similar. What are the two distant events? The first event was the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. And the second one was the second coming or the end of the days. Both are similar in terms of the events and the seriousness that are going to happen. They have similar events taking place. They have similar situations, but they are distant in time. That's why sometimes when we read this chapter, Mark 13, we find it just a little bit confusing, because sometimes he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and other verses he would talk about the end of the time. So when we are confused, we have to try to discern. I wonder, does this pertain to the destruction of Jerusalem or to the end of the days. Of course, the destruction of the temple took place, and all the prophecies that our Lord Jesus said about the destruction of the temple happened to the letter. And that's why he said, I tell you the truth, that this generation will not pass till they see everything that I have said. And indeed, this is exactly what happened. All the disciples were martyred except St. John the Beloved. All of them suffered persecution, and they were martyred right around this time. And then came the destruction of the temple. One common theme, one main theme that our Lord is getting our attention to, and it has been repeated in so many ways in today's gospel. Do you know what is that? Watch out. Watch out. Be careful. Many times it has been repeated in different ways. So our Lord is telling us, watch out. We need to be watchful. We need to be watchful. What is the opposite of being watchful? Sleep. That's why he said, will the Son of Man find you asleep when he come? He gave us a verse about that the owner who travels away will come back. He might come back evening time or midnight. The rooster would crow or at dawn. What is common about those timings? They are timing when a person, when one of us is liable to be asleep. Right? Evening is a time when we take nap. Midnight is a time when we are asleep. The rooster crows very early in the morning when everyone is asleep. And at the dawn is people when they are getting ready to be asleep. So our Lord is telling us to be watchful. They are all times of sleep. So he tells us, watch out. Watch that the Lord will not find you in one of those occasions sleeping. Of course, not literally sleeping, but spiritually sleeping. Nighttime is equal to, in the biblical metaphors, to darkness. Darkness is also another metaphor for sin. Darkness and sin are related. And that's why we need to be alert. In the world, we need to be alert. Because if we are not alert, we are very highly liable to sin. As Christian, we say we are free. By the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been saved. We are free from the sin. And I am free. No one can judge me through anything that I do. Is this right? This is right, but I have to be watchful. I have to be careful about this, because sometimes I misuse the freedom that I have. Sometimes I take the freedom as an opportunity to be lazy and sleepy. And if I'm lazy or sleepy, I went into the realm of darkness, and I went into the realm where I might fall into sin. And many times when we want to get away with something that is wrong, what do? We go into a dark place. We go somewhere where nobody's watching, where no one can see me, right? I stay late when everybody is asleep. Nobody can see me. I can do whatever I want. Or I go hide somewhere in the darkness, somewhere where no one can see me, and I do. Or I wait when someone is absent, and I do something that I was not able to do. These are times when sleep, when darkness crawls into my life. That's why the Lord is telling us, stay awake, stay alert. Unfortunately, darkness starting to creep into our life, even publicly. Many times, TV shows, songs, even the fun of the world started to take forms that are dark, that is form that is full of way that we could sin or we could be astray. We have to tendency, unfortunately, sometimes to fall asleep in church services, right? And many times in church services we have tendency to fall asleep. But I wonder if we're watching a movie right now on the screen, if we would fall asleep or not. Most probably we will not. But in church service, this is sometimes that I take permission to fall asleep. That's why he says, what I say to you, stay and watch. Of course, this does not mean that we never get any time to sleep or rest. That's why in the book of Songs of Solomon, a verse says, I am asleep, but my heart is watchful. My heart is awake. Even if I sleep, my heart is awake. I wonder if I stay and attend the tasbihah and go sleep, what will my heart be doing? Praising the Lord. Even if I am asleep, I will wake up with praises, and I sleep with praises. I will live my life even in my dreams, even in my sleep, thinking about the Lord, and my heart is going to be awake. They say about many of the saints, Pope Kyrillos or Abuna Pshoy Kamel, when they had to go through surgery and they were asleep under anesthesia, what were they saying? Psalms. Because they know that they are asleep, but their heart is not asleep, their heart is watchful. Staying awake, staying alert, is an opportunity for me to know more about the Lord. All the spiritual practices are useless if done with absent-minded, right? Sometimes I get into the habit of the routine. And the routine is, I'm absent-minded. I just keep on repeating Alhan, keep on repeating Psalms, keep on repeating sometimes songs. We take sometimes songs as a time to social or as a time to wait for a speaker, right? But those are spiritual practices, important spiritual practices. If I take them the same way or absent-minded, I'm not really benefiting. I'm really asleep. So though I'm doing spiritual practices, but I could be asleep. That's why the Lord said, be alert and stay watch. Our Lord Jesus Christ made the miracle of opening the eyes of the man who was blind. He said, while I am in the world, everybody has to see, and everybody has not to live in darkness. We need to live in the light. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's why he opened to this man his eyes. This man who was blind was able to see who Jesus is, for who he is. But the ones who were able to see, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were not able to see. They were awake. They had their eyes opened, but they really could not see properly. But that man, though he lived in the darkness for a long while, physical darkness, but once he was able to see, he was able to recognize the Lord. He said, who is he so that I might believe? And he said, the one who is talking to you. And he said, I believe in you. When all the people kept bothering him and annoying him and asking him, tell us about the man who opened your eyes on the Sabbath. Tell us about this man. He said, you know, I don't know anything. One thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. Staying alert, staying watchful is an opportunity for me to know my Lord Jesus Christ for who he is. And this is the eternal life. This is what our Lord said about eternal life. Guess what is eternal life? Eternal life is a time, is an opportunity, a much clearer opportunity for us to see our Lord Jesus Christ, to see him for who he is. This is what he says in the book of John when he was praying, so that they might live eternal life, that they would know you. This is eternal life. So knowing the divinity, knowing God, is an eternal life. We're going to spend the rest of eternity knowing God. And know what? Eternity is not going to be enough to know about our God. So we start this practice here, right now. He also warns about false Christs and prophets and false teachings, because they are also another model of darkness, another manifestation of darkness, false Christ and false teachings. And unfortunately, right now we live in such a time. False teachings, false Christs, false prophets. That's why it is important not only to learn about spirituality. Spirituality is very important on the personal level, but another aspect of learning, which is the dogma, the theology. We need to be aware about the right dogma of our church. We need to be aware about the right theology of our church, so that when we hear about the different teachings, we can discern, not just to be an ignorant and say, you know what, I don't know anything, I just go to church and pray to God. That's not good enough. Our Lord said, search the books. We need to search the books. We need to know our faith, and we need to know, we need to be well versed in our faith, so that we live no longer in darkness, but we live in the light, and we are alert and watchful, because many will try to deceive us. Many will try to take us astray. During summer, most of the kids, they have plenty of time. And something I try to do with my kids as well is I tell them, you know what, I'm going to go do this service or do this something and come back, and I want you to do these tasks for me. And I give them a list of tasks. And when I come back, guess what happened? Almost nothing most of the time, right? I guess this is similar or common with many of the parents. I hope we're not in the same situation as disciples, as followers of Christ. As followers of Christ, we don't know the time, but we have a task. We are to stay alert and watchful, but we have a task. And really, one of the commendations that I like about the church here is all the effort and the work that is done regarding mission and missionary trips and evangelism. This is the one major task our Lord left with his disciples. And he told them to pass this over and to keep on spreading the word to the ends of the world. This is the one important task that we need to do. And evangelism, living this life, not necessarily by preaching, but the world right now is needy for models. Every one of us is in a place, in a company, or at work, or in the house. And the people around us, they need to see a living model of Christianity. This is what the world lacks. When they came to Gandhi and they told him, they asked him about his ideology and his philosophy and his opinions about different things. And one of the things they asked him, what does he think about Christianity? Christianity has similar like values and ideologies like the one that you live and try to live in your life. And he said, you know what? I like the teachings of Christianity, but I never saw a Christian person who is living such teaching. It was a big loss. Of course, not 100% valid logic or reason, but it is a responsibility. It is a responsibility that is upon each and every one of us. Where is my model as a Christian person living the Christian teachings? The tasks are given to us as a gift by God. Every service that I do is a gift from God. For we are his craftsmanship, created in Jesus Christ, for tasks that he has prepared for us to do. This is what the Bible is telling us. God has offered us free gifts of task to work these tasks. And we are responsible to follow those tasks and fulfill them and do them. Time is short. The one question that our Lord Jesus Christ did not answer is when. The disciples asked when and what are the signs. The rest of the chapter all about signs and events that are going to take place. But when it came to time, no time. No one knows the time. It comes suddenly. Because sometimes, not sometimes, when we know a certain times, we lose our guard. And we could be deceived. If someone tells you you have plenty of life to live, and someone was diagnosed with a serious sickness and knows that he or she has few or 3 days, who would be on more guard? The one who knows the end, right? Mind you that the one who does not know or he thinks that he is going to live for a long life might pass away even sooner or before the one who knows when. That's what the Lord wanted for us to live. Be always on guard. We do not know, but we always are on guard. The time is short. His words are certain. Heavens and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Let every man be a liar, but God truthful. Indeed, the words of the Bible, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, are true and honest. All the commandments that are given for me to follow are truth and honest. All the commandments are there in the Bible for me as a protection, as a guard, to live in this life, realizing that life is short, time is short, and to live a watchful life. I ask all of you, and myself included, that we go about praying this liturgy, realizing that the time is short, asking our Lord to keep our hearts always alert, even if we are sleeping, but we are alert. Even if we are sleeping, but we are praising the Lord. So let us all join in praising the Lord and enter into the heaven and enjoy being in His presence and being ready all the time. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God.